Welcome to Where We Belong, a podcast exploring all that Cavan heritage has to offer. The Frolics and Ballyjames stuff has been bringing showbiz and joy to Cavan people for over 70 years. Today, Savina Donoghue caught up with Joe Moyna, Trevor Smith and Michael Callaghan to discover where it all began and how it's managed to thrive for generations. So, sit back, relax and spend some quality time with Cavan and its people.
So thank you, Michael, Joe and Trevor, for being with me here this afternoon. And we're going to talk about the Frolics. And suppose for people who know nothing about the Frolics, I might ask you, Michael, how would you describe the Frolics?
I would describe the Frolics as what they say in theatrical terms, a review, R-E-V-U-E. In other words, it's a combination of music, song and dance. It's not a scripted show like My Fair Lady or Fiddler on the Roof or anything like that. Yeah. We put the show together.
Okay,
we pick the songs, we pick the comedy, we pick the dances, whatever. So it is termed a review.
So can I just ask you, why did the Frolics come about?
Well, the thing was based on originally a very, very strong drama group that existed in Ballyjames stuff. Yes. And they did plays. And they did them in Lent in the hall, and then they went and got involved in drama festivals.
Okay.
And part of the play, when you go to the play in the hall, there was maybe at half time there might be a few musical items.
Yes.
And this introduced music or song into the night.
Okay.
The other reason that was explained to me was that if you were doing a play, mm-hmm. it only catered for 6, 8, 10 people.
Yes.
On stage. Whereas what the review show had in mind, there could be 50 on stage.
So you were including far more
yes.
people.
Yes. Yeah. And the emphasis in the early days was on the one act sketches.
Okay.
They would have been written by the late Paddy Cusick.
Yes.
Would have been one of the people who would have been. He was a solicitor on Ballyjames stuff. And he had a great eye for everything that was going on in the community.
Okay.
You know, and like he wrote sketches. He was a solicitor, so he wrote a lot of court sketches.
Okay.
And then he wrote one on the local fire station and the lady guard arrives to town and all that type of thing. And those sketches are still there and we've done them recently enough, but they're not the long version.
Yeah.
So that's how I would describe what it is and how it developed.
Okay, and then to the town of Ballyjames stuff. It must have been and continues to be a wonderful asset to the town.
The week of the show was a massive benefit economically to the town. The local pubs will definitely benefit and people ringing their families will call to restaurants on their way. So it definitely has a big impact. Like Susie, the producer, talks about when she was a child, her dad had Frank's Cafe. There used to be a queue of people waiting for chips coming on buses from all over Ireland. So it has a massive benefit to the town, along with just the people involved in the show, but the business in town definitely benefits.
So it really benefits the entire community.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And that's a wonderful. Yeah.
Hmm. We're already meeting and planning our show for February 2024.
Okay, thanks, Michael. And Joe, can I just ask you, and I know Joe in particular, you are really into the drama end of it or the comedy end of it or whatever. What has the Frolics done for you? And when did you join it? And what's special to you about the Frolics?
Well, I was always a clown and it made me a bigger one, I think. But when I went into it first, I was in the choruses and that. And Johnny McBreen asked me then to do a sketch.
Okay.
And I've been doing it ever since, you know.
Yeah.
But Johnny was a master.
Tell us a little bit about Johnny.
Well, Johnny was an all-round man. He knew everything, knew how to do everything. And a sketch, he could put a sketch together, or you'd be doing a sketch and Johnny, you come in, no, don't do it that. He'd show you how to do it and it worked mighty, you know, he was a great hand at it. Marvellous musician, fiddle player, an all-round man, you know.
Yeah.
And him and Paddy Cusick were the mainstay of them.
So they really were the original people?
The original founders of it, you know.
Yes.
And as I say, Johnny was a court clerk and Paddy was the solicitor, and they had great sketches about breach of promise, contracts and everything, which was the thing at the time. So he had it on the doorstep with him.
So, yeah, they had they could make.
And his wife then, Peggy Cusick, was also a great musician, and she was top class
and
as well.
Peggy was Paddy's wife, wasn't it? Yeah. Yes. And okay.
So that's how I got involved. And I say I've been there ever since.
Okay. And yeah. Trevor, I know you're involved in the Frolics. I know you're very involved in the backroom scenes and getting the stage ready, all that kind of thing, which is hugely important as well.
That's right, Savina. Backstage crew is where I would tend to be. There are a lot of people around the show not performing. There are people performing and they love it. But the one thing about the Frolics, it's very welcoming to anybody who's interested in getting involved.
Yes.
They can work. There's so many jobs available. Backstage is where I found my home in the Frolics. I really enjoy it. But I suppose I have a claim to fame. I was in the Frolics before I was born.
Now there you go.
My mother was expecting me and I didn't know until years later, but the last show she had been in, she was expecting me. But I'm quite happy, again, in most stuff behind the scenes, and that's where I work behind the scenes. We have a great team there and there's a lot goes on that people don't see, and that's what we like. It just happens quietly, no big fuss, and keep the show going. And it's very important to all the people involved in the show. It's a kind of like a big family and everybody's embraced.
And as someone who I've probably been at every Frolics I could have been at all over the years, and I'm always very envious of you all and of the cast, the musicians, everybody that's involved in the Frolics. And it's a wonderful community event, and it's a lovely way of welcoming people into your community. And I'm sure there are numerous advantages to the Frolics, but the glitter, the lights, the sound, I mean, it's a massively professional show. And how can you keep doing that, Michael?
Because we set high standards. And our primary aim every year is to make this show better than the last one. Not as good as, but better. And that's what we set out to do. I don't know that we always achieve it, but that will be the overriding principle. Yeah. You just mentioned a few things there about the glitz and the glam and the lights. And it just, my mind flashed back to the first show. And no, I wasn't at it in 1952. But in those days, what they had for lamps was biscuit tins. And local electricians, one of them was an old character in the town called Jackie Riley. He made lamps. He actually made a lamp that would have an Aer Lingus jet taken off and landing.
That's unbelievable.
By putting a bulb in the box and having a lever pulling it in and out. You know? And most of the lights were footlights, the old-fashioned footlights. But everything was, if you didn't have it, you made it.
Yeah.
Was a lot of it.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
If you didn't have it, you made it. And even that applied to the music. If they were doing a scene and they wanted a particular song for it, if they didn't have the song, Johnny McBreen might write it.
Okay.
You know, I'm thinking of a song like The Last Puff Puff, Back to
Ballygame
stuff.
Yes.
And he got it fitted into the show. So like there were the early days, but what has helped immensely in recent years is the huge advancement in electrical. I mean, what we're looking at here in front of us, in the early show there were three microphones, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Three microphones and an old
deck.
You'd hardly call it a deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now we're down to lighting and sound, and there's absolutely hundreds and thousands of pounds worth of equipment being used to light and sound our show. It's not ours, we hire it.
Yes, of course, yes.
We hire it. Yeah. But that would, you know, that brought the show into the new age.
Yes. And can I just ask you, Joe, Michael mentioned there that every year they try and make the next show not the same as, but better than the previous. So, and what makes a good show? What makes a good performance? What do you...
So a whole lot of things. The cast that we have are top class. They can turn their voice or sound to anything. You know, we have Patrick Farley with us, which is a genius, a great comedy crew that can adapt to different scenes or whatnot. And we often rerun an old sketch that was done many years ago and revamp it a bit, and it comes out as good as it was written yesterday, you know.
Yes.
And that's what brings the standard up all the time, you know.
So you're constantly working to improve. And
Everything seems to improve year by year. And there's a certain crowd go for comedy. They don't like music that much. But there's something for everybody in it, you know.
Yeah. That is one thing. There is something for everybody, yes.
Yeah. Over the years, I remember Nicky Murray doing the little boy that Santa Claus forgot on a Christmas show, and it was something else, you know. And you had Francie Lynott and Francie Lynch doing Down on Misery Farm, and they looked misery. You'd think it was just raining down on them as they stood there, you know.
They were so good.
Yeah, it was brilliant, yeah.
And Trevor, can I ask you just I'm always struck by the creativity in the show. But the props, the colour, and it's a lot of work, and I'm sure the resources are not great.
Well, I suppose the show has gone on so long that sometimes we can recycle props or recycle lights or some of the things. They try and keep their budget tight enough, but at the same time, every year they will invest money in new props that will be used again. But sometimes the backdrops, there can be an amazing backdrop and it might be stored out in the shed, but it's used again in 10 years again and people think it's a brand new prop. But they are definitely use some of the props that had been used before, along with embracing new technologies as they're going along.
Yeah, okay. And Michael, if we could just ask you, and if you've anything to say, just keep talking to me because it's a fantastic story.
If you were to ask me, what I thought kept it going.
Yes.
Well, there's all the things the boys mentioned, without a doubt. But I think the one thing that has kept us really up there over the last 40 years would have been our musical director.
Okay. Yes.
We're very lucky in that we have a musical director. He's been with us since the 70s. I remember at the time, Johnny McBreen, who was producing that show, we didn't have a piano player.
Okay.
And I lived next door to him, and I was in the shop one day and he said, "Michael, I hear there's a fella playing the piano in a show over in Mullingar. Will we go over and listen to him?" And we did. And it was Fergus. And that was the beginning of Fergus and Frolics.
Yeah.
Now, it's his sheer desire for harmonies and perfection that keeps the music, up to the level that it is at.
Yeah,
and it doesn't happen by accident.
No,
it's a huge... So I would put him very much as a contributory factor to that.
Yeah, Fergus Kearney, he is absolutely amazing.
That couldn't go unsaid,
No.
The other things, it's the desire to have something for everyone in the family.
Yes.
You know, we do a matinee in recent years and it fills the hall every Sunday. The kids love it. We do a little maybe item for children on that particular day, you know. But it's a family show for families. The format was started 70 odd years ago and hasn't changed.
Okay.
And I do know that at times we did consider, will we try doing a musical? And we might have discussed it for hours, but we always came back to, well, this is working.
Yeah.
If it's not broken, don't fix it.
And something that absolutely always strikes me is the number of young people that are involved.
Yeah.
And I have no doubt that that must give them unbelievable confidence, unbelievable opportunities to be part of such a professional run performance, and to get on a stage, and it brings so much good.
Yeah. I've seen people you know, maybe we started the post-primary school classes,
yes,
expressed an interest. And at the time, we were getting it hard to fill a cast, you know,
yes,
and we took them, and that started a trend. But I've seen young people come into the show, and I've seen them 6 months later.
Yeah.
And the change in them is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The sense of responsibility, the sense of achievement, the sense of development that they get, the sense of pride in being in it. Mm-hmm. They're willing to do anything to be in it.
Yeah. And looking on, and sorry, Joe, I'm not cutting, but looking on, I always get this great sense of fun.
Yeah.
And there's a great sense of when a show is over, you see them coming out and they're just buzzing. And I think
when it's over, they're in tears.
Yes. And this whole show,
You know, there's great friendships developed through it, and this goes on for years and years, you know.
Yeah, that's lovely. But
That's
lovely. I suppose what I'd like to ask, and maybe I'll start, Trevor, with you. What has the Frolics brought to your life?
The Frolics has really, I don't know, it's something to look forward to every time the Frolics, there's mention of Frolics, you get word that the Frolics has come and starting up. And we wouldn't have the time available. I don't know how these guys put in the effort that they do, but we would get the call from Michael about a month before the show, and you text the guys that work backstage, and are you about next week? And we do meet for an hour at the show, and we're quite calm, and we just look at what's going on, and we get our list, and we work from there. But you talked there a minute ago about what it does for the people. People talk about their favourite scene, but what I do talk about, my favourite part of the show, you talked about the young people involved in the show. The first night, people are nervous and it's running around. But as the nights progress, especially the transition year students, you can see them starting to smile as they're performing. And it's just a wonder to watch them. Every night, they're gaining off the confidence and they're doing it without even thinking.
Yeah.
And that's the highlight of the show for me, is young guys enjoying themselves.
How much better. That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And Joe, what has the Frolics brought into your life?
Oh, a whole lot of misfortune. No, I enjoy it. It's a great treat to be able to be in it, you know, and I enjoy meeting all the crowd and rehearsing. And
how long have you been in
lines
it,
that work and some don't work, you know. But I remember years ago, there was a brother of mine, Des, was in the first shows, and Paddy Cusick was the director. And he said to Des one night, he says, "Des, mind," he said, "would you put on a smile on you?" He says, "You look miserable here." And Des said, "Paddy," he said, "if the bank manager was in the front row and you'd owe the money, there wouldn't be much to smile about."
Very good, Joe. Very good.
There was great times and great characters over the years.
Great friendships, I'm sure.
Great friendships, yeah.
And Michael, what has the Frolics brought into your life?
Oh, many things. I think one of the highlights, I would say, was the friendship that grew up with John McBreen.
Yes.
That was a huge thing for me. I lived next door to him. I'd be in the shop every day. He'd be doing a show and we'd be talking about it. And then he got me involved and so on and so forth. And the many cast I would have met over the years. Now, it's not all laughter and sunshine. And it's not all, was all very calm, you know.
I can understand that and I can appreciate that.
We have our, you know, to keep it going, and you go in some night and you find someone's not there, they're sick and you have to make changes and, you know, there's panic, but that's all part of it. I think the best thing it meant for me was having been involved in it.
Yes.
I can't say more than that. Yeah. And the many people that I met, both cast, backstage people, audience, over. I got into it in 1968.
Okay.
So I'm not going to start counting, but
we'll do the sums. Okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
So I don't mind really which of you answer this, but can you describe to me, like, the night of a show? What's it like? What happens? You know, paint a picture, especially for our listeners.
Yeah. Well, the first thing I notice is that there's an awful rush on the toilets. The pressure is on. And then it all settles down. But the excitement is huge. You know, the bits and the glamour and the makeup. Yeah. And it's all go, you know. Everybody dashing about. And great atmosphere, you know. So
the night of a show.
When it goes so well, then, you know, everyone's so happy over it, you know. Yeah.
The night of a show, an actual show, not the first night, but any night of a show, I would be walking into the hall at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
The first man I'd probably meet is Joe.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is that if there's a problem, you're there on time to deal with it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, there are many times when being there paid off, and most nights it's not necessary, but then on the night of a show, one of the things we pride ourselves on is that we say the show starts at 8:15. It starts at 8:15. And part of my function is that I have to make sure that the cast, the band and everything are in the positions at 8:15, ready to start. Now, every night before the show, the cast will meet in the back room. We'll go through what happened the night before. If there are any glitches to be ironed out, it's done there. They have a bit of a powwow, and they say a good luck prayer, and then they take their place on stage. And, you know, I coordinate then with the musicians that, okay, the cast are in place, get out there, lads, you're next. And I'd be looking around the hall and say, the crowd is in, down the lights, and away we go.
Just, I suppose, it's the Frolics, is, there's no doubt about it. It's a wonderful experience. I've never been in it. My family have been in it. And it's done so much for them. But I can see, you can see the good, you can see the fun, you can enjoy it. It's just really, really a wonderful experience.
There's not a show like it in the country, I do believe, you know. And people come from Dublin or from anywhere throughout the country. They can't believe that a small town can put on such a marvellous show. You know, top of the range. You wouldn't get it in the city of Dublin.
No, and something that always, you know, I'm always, I suppose, that really makes me, the number of people that may have been in the show in the past and come back.
Yeah.
And they feel so much part of it. And they're always so made, feel so welcome. And I always think that's another lovely tribute to the Frolics. Mm-hmm. It's really, really nice. But I have to ask you now, what's your hope for the future of the Frolics? Trevor, I'll start with you.
I think, as I mentioned earlier, it's a big family, and I feel that it definitely will carry on. It's a huge commitment, but the people are there. They're really volunteers. They talk about, Michael talked about trying to make the numbers. At the moment, they're having to have auditions and a curtain call. So there's auditions before to even to get into the Frolics. Like in the past, he talked about trying to get numbers, but now there's auditions. So that shows how important that the Frolics is.
Okay, thanks. And Joe, what's your hope for the future of the Frolics?
Well, I'm 60 years in it, so I hope I live another 60 years. I finish up on it. You know, I hope it continues on the way it's going, and the new people will come on, new director and producer and music. Everything will go along, and it'll move along for years to come.
Okay, thanks, Joe. And Michael?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of us are involved a long, long time. And in the next short note, there will need to be changes.
Yes.
And my hope is that we can find the people who are willing to step in and take on this mantle.
Okay.
And keep the thing going. I'm not saying that I can't be done with it, but there, you know, people get older, and we need to be looking out for new young talent to take over as producers and directors and all of that.
And if people listening to this podcast were interested in getting involved, what would we tell them to do? To contact?
Contact the secretary. You know.
Yeah.
Contact any of us.
Okay.
And by the way, there's so many levels that they could become involved in.
Yes, there's so many. It's not all about singing. It's about dancing and all that.
No.
Or acting. There's so many backstage, front of house, ticket office. I know there's absolutely so much that anybody would be welcome and involved
in.
And that is really, really good. Yeah. And I know for generations there'd be lots of different families involved in the Frolics. Like, it's a big family unit as well, with many members from the same family involved.
Well, that's still the case.
It's still the case.
Yeah, still the case. You know, I'll surely leave someone out now, but, you know, I go back and I think of families like the Devines. Their father was in it on production, and there were different ones of them singing at all ages. And, you know, until very, very recently, they were still involved.
So it's a beautiful legacy.
Yeah,
the whole, as well as, you know, you get enjoyment when you're at it and the year you're at it, but it's so much more.
you know, almost can't put in words what it creates around.
Yeah, it's very, you ask people why you're in the Frolics, and a lot of people can't say why. It was just, they've done it. It's their, a tradition. It just happens. They're there because they want to be there, and it's a tradition.
But it must be a great sense of pride too.
Oh, they're as proud as punch when the Frolics gets recognition. Absolutely, yes. My dad was backstage, I'm backstage, my son is backstage. It just happens to come. People get involved. There's no reason why, just they do it.
Yeah, it's actually a lovely story. It's a lovely, and it's a lovely evolving story, how it has started, how it has grown. And, you know, even the man who made the light boxes and you know, you go to a show now and we expect all we see with sound and lighting and, you know, but when you think back.
Oh, yeah, it was massive,
It was massive.
Is that Jashy, really called Jashy the Coiner, and he'd have, there'd be electric wires all over the place. And somebody said he had a live wire in his mouth one night waiting to connect it to something else. And health and safety wasn't a problem at that time.
No. Look, it's a wonderful story. The Frolics is a wonderful story on so many levels. And I just want to thank you so much for being here today and telling us all about the Frolics, the people, the history, and hopefully into the future. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
This has been a Cavan Heritage podcast. Thank you to everyone who gave their time to bring this piece to life. If you've enjoyed this episode of Where We Belong, please make sure to like, leave a review and share. You can subscribe to this podcast to keep up to date with all new episodes. Until next time, slán go fóill.